dream world. Kazuo Ono is my mother. A stranger gets off the train at 23rd Street, and then I remember how much I miss you. This is the stuff of heroic dreams, as if the world depended on it. As if the world depended on it. If shit fell out of the sky, to point it out would be self-indulgent. Is the fate of all just men any different from those who are not more than men, half men, cracked men? Adjust the man. Do what you can. Wisecrack with the old lady. Say hello to the doorman. You never dreamt that life had undone so many, nor did you know that death was your pseudonym. And out of this twisted day comes the memory of Vion's lines about how, by a twist of the rope, a man's neck knows finally how much his ass weighs. There was much missed, but I never lost sight of you. It was Laurel and Hardy who reminded me that I was not alone. Tokyo Birdhouse for Kazuko Shiraishi. It all started with Kazuko saying, "I want to invite you to my birdhouse." Then I discovered that stamp with her picture on it, the pink leadbeater cockatoo with seven pointed white crest, sharp little beak, red-rimmed eyes, and white wings sitting in a tree in Okusiambino. I knew that I was the brown owl from Cape Verde, doomed to be up all night, longing for live meat like the wounded owl I once force-fed every day in Kathmandu. Then I couldn't get the birds out of my head. I remembered how writing evolved from the flight of cranes, the calligraphical formations, the bird tracks in the sand, Palamedes and Valmiki. Then Attar's colloquy of the birds started by confounding me. I too wanted to fly into the center of the sun. Then there was the magical kingfisher of my childhood, the crow who flew with burning wick in its beak in order to describe Dharma. That Pondicherry bird of South India calling all night, "I've got a fever, I've got a fever." The fever bird, we called it. I remembered the feather floating to the ground, the brilliant plumage, Quetzalcoatl, your triple-eyed peacock feather given to an emperor of China by the king of Nepal. This is not a poem, but a pastiche of swallows and toucans, a hymn to flight, a tenderness for pigeons, your woodpecker which lets spirits escape from trees, big birds which can't fly, to the face hidden beneath every wing, to the falcon's lure, to the blinded birds, lyre birds, birds which are good to eat, parrots and magpies, the whip or will, the egg of sleep. I want to invite you to my birdhouse, you said. From the Moroccan Journal, 1987. My heart feels like an uncut diamond. Though it is still the same, it is not the same. Someone speaks of a bridge to be built from Tangier to Algeciras. Or is it Gibraltar? Yes, and then a highway to the stars, or more likely an elevator to the underworld, says yellow turban to white jalaba as the exhaust fumes from the bus engulf them, leaving behind not even a single shadow. Is that Mel Clay in a white jacket turning the corner? No, it is a figment of my imagination, escaped from the asylum. Is that Ian Somerville walking backwards up the street, as if pulled by a giant magnet? No, that is William Burroughs making electricity from dead cats. Is that Tatiana glistening on Maxiton? No, that is the sun dancing in the sugar bowl. Is that Mark Schleifer wavering on the cliff edge? No, it is a promontory in the wind of time about to fall into the sea. Is that Beethoven's Ninth Symphony being played up the street? No, it is the sound of the bread wagons rumbling over cobblestones. Is that George Andrews with two girls in hand looking for bread? No, it is an unidentified flying object about to land. Is that one-eyed Mose hanging by his heels? No, that is the hanged man inventing the tarot. Are the dead really so fascinated by lovemaking? Yes, that is how they travel. Is that Irving in short pants looking for trouble? No, that's me, unable to stop thinking. Is that Kenneth Halliwell looking for Joe Orton? Is that Jane Bowles looking for Sharifa? Rosalind looking for her baby? Alfred searching for his lost hair? Is that the wig of it all? The patched robe of my brain? The wind talking to itself? Brian is dead and Jacoby is dead. And I am a not unhappy ghost remembering everything. The warp and woof of memories, her yellow slip, her shaved cunt, her idiot child. Dream shuttle makes me exist everywhere at once. The blind beggars led by children keep coming. They all have many houses in the Casbah, chant the unbelievers sucking on sugar. Words keep coming back, like Bezezel for tits, Lachine for oranges, like Mina, like Fatima, like Driss Barada dropping his trousers for an injection in the middle of his shop. The trunk is full of old sepia postcards, bare-breasted girls smoking hookahs, etc. We speak of the Cataplana, the mist which obscures even the cielo. You cannot even see the hand in front of your face. We embrace. He says he thought of me only yesterday. He says there are always 9 such men who look like us in the world, and that we are the 10th. We speak of the gold fillets in the sky over Mulay Absalom. The garbage men in rubber boots go through the Saco, pushing wheel drums of collected garbage. An unveiled woman wobbles out of a taxi and heads home before sunrise. Paul couldn't believe there was a Karma Street, but I will never forget it. And Billy Batman, who made the best hash in the world, he dropped a loaded pistol in Kabul, shot himself in the balls, took some heroin, and lay down to die. Now I must get up from my table in the all-night Cafe Central. No more Dr. Nadal. No more window with red crosses and red crescents. The water thrown from buckets runs across the cafe floors and over the sidewalks, and I drop a dirham into the hand of a blind beggar singing in the dark on the American stairs. From Aeneas Nin's A Spy in the House of Love, the women wear fireflies in their hair, but the fireflies stop shining when they go to sleep. So now and then, the women had to rub the fireflies to keep them awake. Ho, ho, ho. Song to nothing. And surely we will die without memory, coming to cold in the shadow of space. And if it isn't too late for the star to love you, spraying the sky with whispers attuned to galaxies hungry for flame. And if the tongue of night sings of albino winos till the morning light shafts the doorway, then surely we will die tonight, faceless at the white gate, sharing the smoke with ancient shapes in future garb. And you stand somewhere there on the other side, feeding on the pain of dreamlessness, where from the misty morning of white shadows and the unresisting need to destroy. Samael, Samael, I beg it may be forgiven, that they may be driven out of the black into the white. Only let the dazzle remain for gamblers to surprise, the strategic diamond, the throne of compressed bone in the unsure dark, where only light can forgive and your mind is signed. Embers of echoes in the vastness disguise the yearning to burn blind eyes in arrogant displays of feeling. Running wild, these beasts will feast on the newborn kind. For surely we will die tonight unless we learn to ignore what the others live for on the other side of mourning and the skin of nothing left by the same summer masks the faceless wanderer. Oh, let it happen, this weird to discover the shape of beauty in everything extreme. For surely we will die tonight, whether we will or whether we dream. Oh, Samael, forgive the dreamer, forgive the dream. The song of nothing is your lullaby. Another vodka would not be a bad thing to celebrate the end of Yom Kippur or even Columbus Day. Columbus would like to have had a vodka, I'm sure. Did anyone hear me back there? Okay, great. End of a line. Must I read the Science Times to know that the monarch's migration is a fragile journey? With a small amount of human negligence, everything could disappear. My last thought as I finally fell into a fitful sleep. My first thought as I picked up the telephone to get the bad news. Glamour will not save our wintering grounds. Better to stay a caterpillar and munch leaves than to risk all for the dazzling moment of flight and the priceless illusion of freedom, hardly. A butterfly's brain is only the size of a pinhead, yet it knows how to get to Mexico, hitching rides on winds and spiraling columns of warm air. But the end of monarchs as we know them is here. I am learning to stay quietly in this apartment with my mother, waiting for Lakshmi. We are dead souls on a cyclical journey. Future tourists will come to marvel at our poems, festooning the gables of a broken civilization. Motels will be named after us, and children will parade in monarch costumes when the season of our return is remembered. Goodbye, elephant. Goodbye, whale. Hello, AIDS virus. Smaller is perhaps stronger after all. My dreams were bigger than any whale, and sometimes I dove even deeper. This is part of a long poem I'll read you called Insomnia on Duke Ellington Boulevard. That's where I live. July 14th, breakfast with myself at the Olympia Diner, 106th and Broadway. Fell asleep around 4 a.m. with the TV on. Van Heflin and Barbara Stanwyck enter my disturbed sleep. Sometimes the only way out is to die, but happily someone else escapes, takes to the road, goes on traveling. I'm up at 7, go to the post office, send 2 Cuban alligators to Brussels, then read Gabriel's column in Newsday about the real meaning of the closet. Feel nauseous, order a hard-boiled egg which comes without a shell, mashed in a cup. Is my heart too yearning for its dying hour? Please bring me one order of cool snow. It's not finished. If I could remember just a fraction of what I said on the telephone, if he could take his clothes off and sit on the banks of the Ganga, if she could see the profile of Caliban in the smoke over the oil fields, if we could just take off and go to Madagascar, if they would stop killing each other and wake up tomorrow morning with a new vision, I would stick my head in a printing press and you could read tomorrow's paper today. Extra, extra, read all about it. Poets' brains prove to be useful. P.S. Sometimes when I pick up my pen, it leaks gold all over the tablecloth. Atlantis Express. Let's take a silver train underground to the back streets of Atlantis, through the corrugated iron routes, and then to the peak itself, to the saddle of the last ridge, past strewn boulders, finally meandering through cascading snow, wearing miners' hats on the perpendicular dark night, and going up to the edge of the Southern Cross, where we reach at last the pure white glistening glaciers and begin to chant over bones in rags of Scorpio. Armless in this sticky substance, how could they ever have had a chance? Permission will not be required, only poems of blood offered to the memory of tree. It is not ice which is eternal, but the fury of the absolute, separating the void from the spirit of man, uplifting like life when it is used against itself, that is radical love. And again we are reduced to living beings, caught by the instant we are taken away. We live in the imprint of the flame, and we are helmeted within the internal blackness, where the ray begins its passage across the indignant sky. Vain clouds uncaring in a tangle of crossbeams culminate in the hermaphroditic mirror of the epileptic dancer asleep. And during sleep, the light is joined to the light. It is all a matter of getting up and then to abandon the pain. It is there that the journey begins, in the self-generated flame of spontaneous combustion. Swayambhunath, the main line running counter to the triangle comprising the maelstrom, the doldrums, and the Sargasso Sea, where sleeping Atlanteans dream forever. This line, this battlefield of the ages, crosses the divide of my most wandering backdoor heart. We will all have to go if we want to reappear in the rhythm of the ritual. It's the wheel of fools spinning over my bed. If I put my left foot first, they will find a way to call me by that name, tracking tremors like glyphs on drunken walls in the negative palace. Just before taking leave of my senses, the white powder dissolves in the sunlight, and making noise like a peacock, he hops on one foot up the mountain. Okay, here's a New York poem. The day after Jerome Robbins died, I sit on a bench on a Broadway island between lanes of bleeping traffic, thinking of the significance of O.J.'s mansion razed to the ground. An old black lady with a cane wearing an elegant straw hat makes it across the street to catch the number 60 bus. the one I love to take for 75 cents, which goes all the way to LaGuardia Airport. I read in the paper that an old friend, Peter Dennison, and his son Morgan, 11 years old, were killed crossing the street by an empty bus. They were holding hands. In my own heart, love dies a little and urges me to keep jaywalking if such steadfastness could so tempt blind fate. Talking to Andy on the telephone, I say, if you really love me, why would you want to go to the Sahara where we could be buried in all that sand? The starlight, you say, but I'd rather go to the beach and be touched by blue water. I'm thinking Atlantis, and she says Madagascar. Definitely at the top of my dream list. You know, Madagascar is considered to be ancient Lemuria, and there are still lemurs singing in the trees. We agreed to go there. We will record the lemurs, their love calls, and all the rest of their chatter, add theremins, and make a CD. I'd love to sample Lemuria before the clock runs out. I'm going to eat the millennium, fill my head with African gold, look at tectonic maps of Venus, check out the hotspots, clean the mirror, say hello to another night sleeping on sharp corners. I'll turn the pages of the giraffe book when the next dawn finally arrives. There goes Sugar walking around, but nothing is free except you and me. You have to be crazy to expect any more. Time is what keeps the light from reaching us. Okay, I have three more poems in this pile. Of course, encores are permitted. Are you okay? This poem is called Secret Milk. As the ice sublimates and is lost, all that is left is the dirt. Ronald Greeley. It is a glorious summer day in New York. For a brief moment, I depart the cool world of air conditioning for a natural walk, brisk and full of encounters, like the angelic Jamaican nurse who taught me how to shoot insulin. Now I can stick a silent needle into the flesh of my thigh and become one with my father in his underwear. Who is that drunken misfit who grunts at me sitting permanently on the sidewalk in front of the supermarket on 107th Street? I sit in a sugar-free salon eating chickpeas with Milan Kundera, Gaston Bachelard, Heinrich Boll, and Roberto Gonzalez Echeverria. They find New York charming beyond their expectations. I explain, it's all an illusion, that everyone is dead or a commodity. We are trying to demagnetize the population, spray the celebrity cockroaches in their breeding grounds, create a sanctuary for chimpanzees before the memory of village women is completely destroyed. In a silver bubble over the red vastness of the Sahara Desert, someone is trying to establish a friendlier relationship with our planet. Even in Mongolia, hunting with eagles has become a tourist attraction. We are all cultural relics trying to free ourselves from melancholy. Like the squid, we expel our ink and grow in the black night, nourished by solitude. Snow composed of water is black despite our eyes, Anaxagoras. Don't drink barium today, my sweet. Let the tumors rest. Something is eating away at the surface of Jupiter's most distant moon. In my heart, an ocean of salty water. Yes, to all of you? Okay. Let me say how lucky we all are tonight to be here. Optical time delay, or you can't step into the same river once, baby. How fast can you download your free flight mirrors? Fasten your seatbelt and enter the world of darkness forever. Plasma solution can replace your blood on demand while you swim upstream to nowhere or sew your shadow back on like Peter Pan. You can cross any border without fear just by wearing a motion tracker bodysuit and a simulated face. Feverishly tweaking your imagination allows you to enjoy the restrictions of obsolete governments. Cyber sex on demand. Don't be a crash test dummy or a Teflon widow. Stay a nomad and keep traveling, with or without a surfboard. If a bookmark is a bullet, then God can surely be an imperfection. There is no simple causal chain. Everything is simultaneously true. Living with flux is a permanent state. Stay on the threshold. Get an impersonal computer. Bathe in the shimmer of liminal possibilities. Decenter your vision and cross the border of human nature. Your mind is a diagram. Your heart can swivel in any direction. But if you can't shake your ass, you'll never make it to the other side. The last user is already with us. The playing field has shifted beyond your wildest dreams. There are no rules in a knife fight. This is a poem I used to do in Belgium with a dance company. We were doing a performance crossing the border, and because I had deaf parents, the woman who was directing the thing was very keen on getting me to do this poem in sign language, and it was very complicated. I finally did that with a video camera on me, projecting me to a very large size in the theater. I'm not going to do it in sign language. I actually improvised. My sister, who's a professional, said, well, it's not exactly right, but you're entitled to take poetic license. I thought that was a great remark. But I'm going to read you the poem. Yes. Plateau. Even if the temple is destroyed, the spirit will remain. The border between earth and sky is described by a bird. The border between life and death is defined by a single breath. The border between past and future is now a tightrope, a cutting edge, a point never to be reached. We dance on one leg between samsara and nirvana, trying to consummate our own future between the dancing and the telling. Let the dancer break away from the dance. Let the words fly off the page. Next time, we will begin with a headstand. Oy, oy, oy. I could tell you stories, really. I mean, you want to ask me to tell you a story? What story should I tell? Well, fairy tale. There's a lot of stories in these poems. You know, one thing about poetry is if you don't have time to get the money or to make a, you know, full-length motion picture about something, you can stick it in a couple of lines in a poem. I mean, otherwise, I would have been dead a long time ago. So, I mean, there. If I would actually sit down and try to open up every one of these lines like a little thing... You stick into a glass of water and it opens up like a Japanese flower. But, for example, just to tell you one story, this poem, Tokyo Birdhouse, for example, I'm talking about birds. And then I say, blah, 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 blah. The crow who flew with burning wick in its beak in order to describe Dharma. So I was sitting, I was in Bodh Gaya, and the Dalai Lama was there. A lot of Buddhas had come to see him. They were turning the prayer wheels like crazy. I too turned a giant prayer wheel. And I saw that it said, there was a sign in English that said, the wheel of Dharma rests on ball bearing. I thought, wow, that's so simple and seems like so true. You know, I didn't know how to, I didn't put it in the poem, but I was thinking about that all afternoon. So I was reading the Mahabharata in an abridged version by some Indian named Dutt. And I came to the end of it, and I had escaped the whole tamasha, which is like circus of the people that had all gathered there for this special ceremony, the anniversary of Buddha's birth or something. It was a place where the original Bodhi tree had existed, that he sat under, you know, and they were selling these leaves to everyone. I bought one myself. And I went into a small Hindu place where nobody was going in this town. And I was with a lovely woman, Petra, that I was with at the time. And as I finished the book and I was reading it out loud to her, it said, Yudhishthira, one of the Pandava brothers, was climbing a hill on his way to heaven or something. And there was a little dog at his heels barking. And that dog was supposed to be Dharma. I said, hey, that's really nice. I mean, the dog, Dharma, is biting at the heels of Yudhishthira and whatever. Then I said to Petra, what is Dharma after all? I mean, I know it's supposed to mean law or duty, but I mean, would you give your life for law? You know what I mean? Because Dharma is a very big thing. You could devote your whole life to it or give your life for it. It just didn't seem significant enough to think of it as law or duty. So when I asked that question, India is a special place where things can happen and answers can come to you in unexpected ways. So just at that moment, dusk was falling, and some little Indian guy came in, and there were all these little shrines with like that were dedicated to Shiva, and in each shrine was a Shiva Lingam, which you know what that is, I guess. I don't have to explain it in more vulgar terms, but that's the organ of creativity. And he was putting in front of each shrine a small bowl of ghee, clarified butter, and in that bowl was a wick. And then he would light the wick. So he suddenly came in just when I asked that question. So I said, well, hey, that's Dharma, right? Huh? And then just at that moment, a crow came down out of the sky and seized the wick in its beak, which was a flame, and flew into the sky with it. I said, hey, wait a minute. That's Dharma, you know? Then I was thinking, being brought up in New York, having a certain, I know that people think I'm a little mystical, means I'm fuzzy, you know, like fuzzy math or something. So, but actually the meaning of mystic is actually from the Greek word mystes, which is a veil, and a mystic is one who pierces the veil, not one who puts the veil up over truth or something. Well, anyway, so I thought, why is this crow flying out of the sky and taking a flame in its beak? It would seem totally unnatural to me. You know, I mean, how did he ever learn to do that? Or why would he do that? So I thought about it for a minute, and then I realized that I was in a place in India that was rather parched and poor. Food was at a premium. And that this crow knew that that wick was saturated with ghee or butter. And when it flew in the sky, the wick went out, and it swallowed the wick. It was food for them. I said, well, hey, that's Dharma, you know? I don't know if it's a fairy tale, but... yeah. Well, I don't know. I could think, I mean, I'm a big storyteller, but I know I was advertised as such. I could think of stories, but I mean... I'd rather have another sip on the vodka, but I would be glad to hear you play more music if people would like to hear, because when you're bowing on this Bazantar, I mean, it just gets me going. I would love to hear another piece, you know,
myself. And then after that, if anybody wants to talk, I'm sitting here. I'm not rushing out. I'll probably order another vodka after this one. Okay? So unless you're demanding more, I think I'm going to sit down for a while.